The last days of Pesach, a summary of the Sikha. It's well known that there is a custom, the Alter Rebbe writes, that one should not eat wet matzah on Pesach. And he says that it's something important. Hamachmir tovi ala bracha, somebody who is stringent in this matter should be blessed. And still he says that at the on the last days of the the last day of Yom Tov, which means Achar Shel Pesach, if somebody wants to act leniently on this matter because he wants to be able to enjoy the Yom Tov more, have his Kneidlach, hasn't lost anything. In other words, is not doing anything wrong. So although the Alter Rebbe frames it in terms of one can be lenient on this matter, but we see that by the Rabbeim, it wasn't a matter of that they were being lenient, but rather they were particular that they should eat matzah shruya, they should eat gebrochts, wet matzah. So this must be significant, because if every minig Yisrael is considered to be Torah, it rises to the level of Torah, how much more so if it's a well-known minhag that they did in public of the Rabbein. So what some want to say that it wasn't that they were being makil, they were being lenient in regards to Pesach, they were being machmir in the matter of having Simchas Yom Tov, of being able to truly enjoy the Yom Tov by having Kneidlach and so on. But this is difficult to say because we don't see that they were particular about eating Kneidlach on Sukkos or on Shavuos. So obviously that's not what creates a particular Simchas Yom Tov, and therefore why were they acting in this way that they specifically ate matzah shruya, and not only once during the meal, but they would eat it in every single dish that they ate. They would put in matzah, they would make sure that there was shruya. So what's the reason for this? And one could say that the reason was because since the Alter Rebbe came up with this novel idea that one is able to be makel on Achan Shel Pesach in order to bring Simchas Yom Tov, so just because the Alter Rebbe said that one is permitted to do that, that's why they wanted to do it. They wanted to show their, you know, sign on to this thing and show the importance of it and so on. That's why they were particular in doing it and doing it often and so on the last day of Yom Tov. Similar to what we say that Rav Acha Berei de Rava would, in the matter of a hadas, the myrtle branch that we put on the lulav, which has to be meshulash, which means there has to be three leaves coming out, and according to most opinions, it has to be coming out from the same level. All three leaves have to be surround the branch on the same level. But Rav Kahana said that even if two are on one level and the third one is slightly below and covers up those two, it's also acceptable. Not everybody agrees, but Rav Kahana said that was permitted. So Rav Acha Berei de Rava would specifically look for that kind of a hadas, because his kiven denofik mepum de Rav Kahana, since it came out of the mouth of Rav Kahana, his Rebbe, so he wanted to do that which his Rebbe spoke about. In a similar way, the Alter Rebbe said it was permitted to eat shruya gebrochts on Achar Shel Pesach, so therefore they were particularly to do it, in just as Rav Acha Berei de Rava would do what Rav Kahana said. But still, since they made sure to do it in every single dish, it means that there is something much more integral that to the matter of shruya as it pertains to Achar Shel Pesach. Because it was just to show their allegiance to the Alter Rebbe and their connection to the Alter Rebbe. They could have done once and that would be enough to show it. The fact that they did it in every dish means that there's something about Achar Shel Pesach which lends itself, which is connected to the idea of shruya, and that's why every dish that you eat on Achar Shel Pesach should be connected in that way. So we have to understand what that is. So to explain it, it's known that there is a difference. The difference is pointed out in regards to Pesach and Shavuos, in regards to the matter of chametz. On Pesach, chametz is completely prohibited, and it's so prohibited, it's so considered so toxic that you're not allowed, never mind to eat it, you're not allowed to even own it. Where no other Isser do we have such a prohibition to own the Isser, but on Pesach, having chametz is also a prohibition. Yet when a Shavuos comes around, not only is it permitted to eat chametz on Shavuos, but there is a mitzvah that the carbon, the specific carbon, the carbon mincha that was connected with Shavuos, but specifically, was made specifically chametz. Chametz teyafena, should be baked as chametz. So not only is it permitted, but it becomes required. So how? What's the difference? Why is that? And the explanation is given that chametz indicates it's an allegory for some arrogance and making oneself more important than they really are, and that is such a problem that it leads to all kinds of bad behavior, bad attitudes, and so on. Gaiva, hagbah, hisnasus, those three, they all mean the same thing, feeling self-important. Those things lead to every other problem, because why do you get angry? Because how could somebody do that to me? But if you didn't feel that you were that important, it wouldn't matter so much that they did it to you, and so on with every other thing. And therefore, on Pesach, when we are first starting out on our journey into connection to Hashem, that was the beginning of where the Yidden were. They were taken on to Hashem. He brought them in and made them into his nation, and they had to get away from the corruption that was happening in Mitzrayim, which they had also been part of. So in order to get closer, to start on the journey, you have to completely divorce yourself from anything to do with that kind of behavior, and therefore chametz is completely out of the question, nothing to do with chametz at all. However, on Shavuos, where after the first day of Pesach, the Yidden began to count down the Omer, and we know that the Omer is associated, as we actually say in the Hirotzen, after we count the Omer, which is each day refines another aspect of our personal character. Our character traits are divided into seven, chesed, gevura, and so on, and each one of those are made up of all seven as well. So, and they could be, you can explain the particular things and how it pertains to you in 49 different ways, and we work on refining and elevating our character from the Pesach, from the second day of Pesach until Shavuos. On Shavuos, we are ready to receive the Torah because we've done all this work to elevate ourselves. And therefore, once we've already done all the work in refining ourselves, so now we are ready to be able to adopt even the matter of pride into our Avedas Hashem, that one can serve Hashem also with pride. One can use a negative attitude, and turn it into a positive attitude, as we know about the king, that the pasuk says, "Vayigbal libay bedarkei Hashem." He felt pride in his service of Hashem in a very positive way. He left the ways of some of his forefathers that used to be idol worshippers, and he elevated himself to be connected to Hashem, and he felt good about it. He felt pride of it. He showed it out to everybody. It wasn't something that he hid, and like he took off his yarmulke when he goes amongst other people. He's proud of who he is. His tzitzis are out, and so on. And that's why on Shavuos we do want to elevate something negative in the world, like the issue of pride, and make it into a positive and a holy thing. So therefore, dafke, it was baked. The mincha of Shavuos was baked as chametz. Perhaps so. Therefore, we can say the same thing about Achon Shel Pesach. By the time we get to Achon Shel Pesach, the night of Achon Shel Pesach, we count the seventh Omer, which means we have finished a complete cycle of one of every aspect of all the seven character traits as they pertain to chesed. We've already refined chesed shebechesed and gevurah shebechesed and teferah shebechesed and so on. On the night of Achon Shel Pesach, before we eat, we have counted the sphira of malchus shebechesed, which means we've completed a whole cycle. And therefore, when you eat the meal that night, we can't yet deal with chametz, but we can already deal with the matter that even gebruchts, which is a distant chshash, that perhaps something could have happened and there would have been chametz because some flour didn't get baked properly into the mixture, mixed into the mixture properly, and therefore when it comes into contact with water, it might turn into chametz. So that we can already allow into our space. We can already deal with that. We've finished an entire cycle of character refinement. We can already deal with that level of, you know, removed chametz and so on. And in fact, we can already use that, the mixture of matzah and water, as a simchas yom tov. It becomes something which brings joy to our yom tov, as the Alter Rebbe says. And in this way, we can also see the relationship between achron shel Pesach and the eating of shruya, and shvi'i shel Pesach, and the way what shvi'i shel Pesach is in regards to eating or not eating chametz and eating matzah. The Gemara tells us that the pasuk says, "Sheishis yomim teichol matzahs." For 6 days you shall eat matzah, and on the seventh day, which is Shvi'i Shel Pesach, Hatzaras Hashem Elokecha, becomes a Yom Tov to Hashem. So from the fact that the Torah specifies the seventh day as separate from the rest of the 7 days of Yom Tov Pesach, which originally we know already in another pasuk where it says that you have to eat matzah for 7 days, now he suddenly separates it out. The seventh day is separate from the 6 days in regards to eating matzah. So therefore we learn from there that why did the Torah single out the seventh day? To tell us that the seventh day, it's not mandatory that we eat matzah. Of course you're not allowed to eat chametz, but it doesn't mean that you have to wash and eat matzah. Or you can wash and eat matzah ashira, which is not really chametz, and it's not matzah, but you can wash on it. The point being that you don't have to eat matzah on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. From this we learn that just like on Shvi'i Shel Pesach you don't have to eat matzah, it's not mandatory, it's optional, so also the other 6 days, it's also only optional. And the only time that we are obligated, that's mandatory to eat matzah, is of course at the first night of Yom Tov, at the Seder, where the Torah instructs us that we must eat matzah, and it becomes a mitzvah to eat matzah. Whereas the rest of Pesach, not mandatory. Still we see that somehow Shvi'i Shel Pesach is outstanding in this matter, that matzah is reshus. Matzah is only optional. It doesn't have to be eaten, because the Torah teaches it to us about Shvi'i Shel Pesach. And from there, we learn it for the other 6 days as well. But it's taught specifically about Shvi'i Shel Pesach. So what is the connection between Shvi'i Shel Pesach and the fact that it is reshus, it's optional? Chassidus explains that reshus has a certain quality about it. That just like Ma'ariv is reshus. The two, Shachas and Mincha, were obligatory. Ma'ariv was considered to be reshus. Now it's already been adopted as obligatory as well. But in essence, it's reshus, which means optional. And we see this as a positive thing. Reshus means when one must be forced to do it. You must be instructed to do it. Reshus means, did I say reshus? No, I meant when it's mandatory, you must be instructed to do it, otherwise you wouldn't do it. Reshus means I'm at the level where I can do it without having to be told to do it. So in other words, I am there already on my own. Who I am already expects me on my own to daven ma'ariv, let's say, to do whatever it is that we're talking about. So in terms of matzah, what it means is, on the first day of Yom Tov or on the other days of Yom Tov, eating matzah, which means not eating chametz in a way, the two are related, eating the poor man's bread, which means the idea of bittul, that one must act in a humble way, all of these things are instructed. We're not there yet, as we said before, because we just came out of Mitzrayim. We're just starting our path of Avodah, of service of Hashem. So we're not yet expected to have mastered humility. Therefore, we have to be told, you have to act in a humble way, you have to eat matzah. But when you get to the seventh day of Pesach, which is already 7 days since Hashem has revealed Himself to us, and when Hashem revealed Himself to us, that explains what we say, that lo hispik the botzek, when the Yidden were leaving Mitzrayim, it wasn't that they didn't actively make chametz. It's that the dough couldn't become chametz. It did not become chametz because they were rushing out of Mitzrayim. But what's the spiritual explanation of that? What do you mean it couldn't become chametz? Because Hashem had revealed Himself, and in the presence of Hashem, one cannot be on a level of chametz. One cannot be arrogant in the presence of Hashem. And now it's already 7 days since that, which means we have had the opportunity to acclimatize ourselves to that kind of rejection of chametz. So now it's not something that has to be foisted upon us. Now it's reshus. We are there. We're on board with this idea, in which we already see the connection, the way, the same thinking as regards to Shvi'i Shel Pesach and Achron Shel Pesach. But there is a difference between Shvi'i Shel Pesach and Achron Shel Pesach, because Shvi'i Shel Pesach is how all this happened top down. Hashem revealed Himself, and therefore we're getting used to that. We adopted that kind of thinking as well. And therefore, eating of matzah is now not mandatory, it's optional, but we're not talking yet about being able to adopt any kind of even chashash chametz, means gebrokts. But on Achron Shel Pesach, where all of this is happening, because we're working on elevating ourselves through these spheres of Omer. And when we work on elevating ourselves, so then it becomes more of who we are, closer to who we are. We've achieved it on our own. And therefore, after 7 days of doing that, which is Achron Shel Pesach, we're now able to even touch upon the idea that perhaps we can eat something which could possibly have led in some other, hopefully other situation, in another world, in another dimension, could have led to actual chametz. We don't have to reject that anymore. We can actually eat even that. But this, so far, has only expressed something which is unrelated to Achron Shel Pesach itself. It just happens to be 7 days of Sfiras HaOmer, which lands on Achron Shel Pesach, but it doesn't explain the integral connection between Achron Shel Pesach and Shruya. So we have to find what is so integral about Achron Shel Pesach and what it stands for to the allowance of eating Shruya. So we'll understand this by something that the Tzemach Tzedek said. He said that the last day of Pesach is called the Achron Shel Pesach, which means that it is the last day of what started on the first day of Pesach, the first night of Pesach, I should say. So the first day of Pesach is our celebration that Hashem celebrates that He released us, redeemed us from Golos, from Mitzrayim, and we celebrate that too through Moshe Rabbeinu, the first Redeemer. Achron Shel Pesach is our Yom Tov in which we celebrate the final Geula, which Hashem will redeem us from the final Golos through Mashiach. So the first day of Pesach is Moshe Rabbeinu, the celebration with Moshe Rabbeinu. The last day is the celebration with Mashiach. That's what the Tzemach Tzedek said. And as we see that this is also expressed in actual practical halacha, that on the last day of Pesach we read the Haftarah, which talks about, which is the prophetic vision that all those well-known prophetic visions are in that Haftarah. That the Mashiach will come, there will come a branch that will shoot from the house of David, will arise, and it tells us about all those prophecies that the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the world will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem, and Hashem will gather in all the Yidden from all over, and so on. So that's the Haftarah. In other words, we're celebrating the final Geula on that day. And the Baal Shem Tov, as well known, would eat three meals on the last day of Pesach. The one, the last one, just before the Yom Tov ended, and he called it Mesudas Mashiach. Because on Achron Shel Pesach, we have an illumination of the light of Mashiach. One big distinction between how the original Geula from Mitzrayim happened and the way it will happen in time of Mashiach is expressed by the fact that from Mitzrayim it says that they had kiborach ha'am. The Yidden had to run away from Mitzrayim because they weren't really ready to disconnect from Mitzrayim. It wasn't like they had accepted that we have to reject Mitzrayim. There was the only way to get away from it is to run away, to forcefully reject it and remove ourselves from it. But when Mashiach comes, it's not going to be like that. Over there it says, Ki loy b'chipozein, not in a hurry will you have to leave the final golus. Because by then, Hashem says, Esruach hatuma aver min aretz, I will remove all impurities from the world, and there will be nothing to run away from. There's nothing to be scared of. And therefore, when we're dealing with Pesach, and the way we had to leave Mitzrayim, so then the rejection of Chometz has to be utterly and completely, because we have to remove ourselves from that, from the corruption of Mitzrayim. But on the day associated with the coming of Mashiach, and the way we will react to the Golos then, which is that we don't have to reject it, we've already acclimatized ourselves to be able to rise above it. Therefore, there is already an opening to be able to eat shruya, to, in other words, adopt a very, very subtle part of serving Hashem with pride and so on. And this even goes so far as in that same haftarah that we read on Avos Pesach, it says that a child will play with a snake. The snake is the serpent, which is the symbol of all evil. And he will stick his hand into the den of the viper. In other words, that not only do we not have to reject it, it becomes a tool to be used. It becomes the toy with which the child uses. In other words, that not only do we not have to reject that far idea of chametz, but we can even use it. We can eat it in every single dish. It's something that we can adopt and bring into our meal again and again and again. And in Achon Shel Pesach, we even find an interesting, unique situation in which one can end up eating chametz while he is still in the meal of Achon Shel Pesach. If one washes, the Shulchan Aruch says, if one washes at the end of Pesach, and he hasn't benched yet, and it's already become night, so Yom Tov is technically over, you can eat chametz in that meal, even though after you finish the meal and you bench, you're still going to say, so you, in the meal in which you're benching and saying we're concluding the meal of Pesach, we ate chametz, because Achon Shel Pesach already has the ability to even bring chametz into the meal, of course after Yontav without question, but we're already seeing a place in Achon Shel Pesach that we can actually eat actual chametz. And the Rebbe concludes with saying that in a general sense, one could say that the Pesach is divided into the first days and the last days. The first days represent Yetzias Mitzrayim. The last days, including Shviyei Shel Pesach, although we made the distinction between Shviyei Shel Pesach and Achon Shel Pesach, but Shviyei Shel Pesach also, in a way, represents already looking forward to the final Geula, because in Shviyei Shel Pesach is when Yetzias Mitzrayim was completed. It went to a different level. Till then, the Yidden were still afraid of Mitzrayim. They hadn't totally gotten rid of the Mitzrayim. They were chasing them down. And only after Kriyas Yamsuf were Hashem killed all the Mitzrayim and it was over. There was nothing to worry about. In other words, similar to what we say, that in the time of Mashiach, it will be Vesruach HaTumah, all impurities will be completely eradicated from the world. And we see elements of Ishapcha, the complete transformation, which is also something which is related more to the time of Mashiach, because it says that by Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayhi Ha'onan, Vachoshech, Vayores HaLayla, there was a cloud and there was dark, but it was illuminated. The light, the night itself was illuminated. As well, the idea of Rishus, which we associated with Shviyei Shel Pesach before, also means that the time of Mashiach will be a time when there is no good and there is no bad, as we know that everything written about the time of Mashiach, that there is no Averis anymore. So in other words, Rishus is also another aspect of that. It's all optional, there is no good, there is no bad, and that is another significant connection between Shviyei Shel Pesach and the time of Mashiach.